All right, well, as Sean said, we are starting a new series this morning. It's going to be a short one, just 4 weeks, called Delighting in the Lord. And I want to start with this question this morning. What in your life brings you the most delight? Like, what is it? Maybe it's Mother's Day. If you're a mom, you're like, I love this day. It's all about me. I delight in this day. Right? But what is it in your life that brings you the most delight? You know, delight is kind of a weird word for us. We don't necessarily use it a lot, but it means like, what do you take a high degree of pleasure in? What brings you great satisfaction? Lots of joy that you are just beyond satisfied when you get to enjoy this in your life, right? What is it that brings you the most delight? Maybe it's a great hike in the mountains. Anybody enjoy that? I love it, and it's good right now, boy. You got to get out there. Maybe it's having a really good meal. Who likes a good meal? Okay, thank you. I do too. I'm kind of a closet foodie. Maybe I said that last week, but I am. I love a good meal. I also don't like to cook it, so I'm not a cook. I like to eat it and enjoy it. Maybe it's seeing your kids grow and excel in things. Who loves to see like their kids develop and do cool things? That is such a delight, right? Maybe it's a great mountain bike ride. Where are you at out there? You know, I took one last night. It was so amazing. I took it all the way to the top of Mill Creek. I love that the road is closed. I hope they close it forever. Because you know who was out there with me? Jesus. It was a great delight the whole way up. I mean, it was just gorgeous. Well, this morning, I want you to see that for us as Christians, our greatest delight is meant to be found in the Lord. I mean, greater than all these things, and those are all really great things that I love. When you think about God, do you think about delight? Or is he more burdensome in your mind? Think about this. I hope that many of you have thoughts of delight, but I'm afraid that sometimes we don't, or maybe you don't this morning. But what we're going to look at here is that the goal of the Christian life is not that we would just go to church, right? Not that we would just know our Bibles. Not that we'd learn to kind of control the sin in our life. But just to be people that know and delight in the Lord. I mean, this is crazy. Listen to what the psalmist says here in Psalm 63, 1, 3, 5, and 6. It's a bunch of weird verses, right? He says this, God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your steadfast love, it is better than life. And with my lips I will praise you. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember and meditate on you. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, look, God, I want you because when I experience your love, it's like eating a perfectly cooked Wagyu steak with everything on the side. Woo! Right? That's right. Thank you. Makes us just cry out, yes, Lord, when that steak lands on my plate. You know, one time I was in Vegas and we had a really great steak. In fact, me and Amy always say, this steak we had at this restaurant, I think it was in the Luxor, it was a very expensive steak restaurant. My dad took us there. We still say that was the best steak we ever had in our life. Sorry if you don't like steak this morning. I like steak. Like, it was perfectly cooked. And you could just like almost just press your knife through it. Like you didn't even have to try. And when you tasted it, it was like buttery perfection. Right? I mean, it was really good. And the psalmist is saying, when I meet with God, it's like eating a really good steak. It is so good. Right? Unending delight with every mouthful. I mean, this is quite sensual language. I'm going to make everybody uncomfortable now. This is sensual language. This is the language of great pleasure. Right? He's saying, when I meet with you, it's like eating fat and rich food. His delight in the Lord is satisfying all his senses. You know, we could take this even a step further. There's a reason why sex is meant to picture our union with Christ. Think about that for a second. Like, that delight is meant to say, this is what it's like to be with God. Great sensual pleasure. And to be with God, to be in relationship with Him, to experience who He is a better pleasure than anything in life. Can you say that this morning? How's your relationship with God looking? Is it like, do you think about having that Wagyu steak, or is it a little more like the McRib mystery meat? I used to like that as a kid. I don't know why. Keeps coming out. They don't even know what it's made of. We know it's not made of rib meat, I don't think. You know, the Westminster Catechism says it this way. What is the chief end of man? And it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay, we kind of miss that second part. You know, we kind of focus on the first part. Like, part of the Christian life is, yes, bringing our lives into submission under the Lord, right understanding of who God is, living out His commandments in a way that brings glory to Him, to all that see. But the other major part is knowing God and enjoying the heck out of Him. Like, this is really important. Because if you don't enjoy God, you're not going to stick with Him. And He says, that's part of what I want in your life. I want you to enjoy Me. In fact, as we've said, it's all about He wants us to delight in Him for all eternity. Listen to what Jesus prays in John 17:3. He says, look, and this is eternal life. In other words, this is the real satisfying, ongoing life that you can have, that they would know God and Jesus whom you have sent. In other words, God has saved you to enjoy Him forever. That's it, to delight in Him. This is where we're going. This is what you get to start even right now as you walk with God. So how do we do that? The Bible speaks of many ways to do that. I've picked four that we're going to look at in this series, and we have these cute little symbols for each. They may pop up there, they may not. But we're going to talk about delighting in God in His Word. We're going to talk about delighting in God in His character. That's what the crown is for. Talked about delighting in God in creation. Can I get an amen? We love that in our city. We could talk about how to do that rightly. And then delighting in God in His salvation, that He has saved us in the person of Christ. Right? So we're going to look at these over the next couple weeks. So this morning we're going to look at that first one. Delighting in the Lord in His Word. Okay? So knowing God in His Word, I'm going to say, is really foundational to all other delight. In fact, if you know systematic theology at all, theologians debate this. When we start writing a book on systematic theology, should we start with God or should we start with His Word? Because God is the one, He's the supreme being that exists without anything else, and He's the one that wrote His Word. But if we didn't have His Word, how would we know about God? It's kind of the chicken before the egg. Which one was first, right? Well, I think it was the chicken. So we start with God who gave us His Word, and now we're going to learn what it looks like to delight in His Word. So let's look at delighting in the Word of the Lord. One of my favorite psalms, this is how it opens. Psalm 1, 1 and 2, meant to be an introduction to the whole book of Psalms to say this is the blessed life. And this is what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Okay, Psalm 1 gives us this picture of what it means to be the blessed man. You can also translate that word blessed as happy, so you could say it this way. Happy is the man who does not walk in wicked ways or their counsel, but rather his delight is in the law of the Lord or His Word. The book of Psalms wants you to be a happy man or a woman, and it's saying you lead that life of delight in God through His Word. Now, he finds it not, this delight of this man, the blessed man, finds it not in living in the ways of the world, but rather learning the ways of God and His Word. we can make an easy observation here this morning with this question. How much time, just put it on a spreadsheet here, how much time or a graph do you spend learning from God's Word versus what you learn from the world and what it has to say to us? Now, don't answer that out loud, right? It's kind of I know the imbalance is almost laughable at best. We are bombarded by the world, and we have to work really hard to get into God's Word. It's kind of like, I don't know if you have this debate with your spouse or with your friends. Me and my wife compare cell phone time usage because Apple does that great thing where it tracks it for you. And when one of us complains about the other being on our phone, we're like, all right, get it out. Let's see. And who wins every time? I have way less time on my phone, praise God. Just going to say that, right? Maybe I shouldn't say that on Mother's Day. Maybe I'm in trouble. But if we look at our time, right, spend on our phone, spend in the Word. Now, maybe you're spending time in the Word on your phone. Okay, I'll give you a little break there. Right? It's almost laughable. And yet, God is saying here in Psalm 1, the blessed man sets aside the world and its ways, and it spends time delighting in what God has said. Right? This is the pathway to happiness and delight in the Lord. You know, so how do we delight in the Word of the Lord? What does it look like for a Christian to delight in God's Word? I'm going to give you four easy things here. Some of these you know, but let's just talk about it. First one is this. We got to read it, right? We have to find a way, as we're saying, to spend time in God's Word. Listen to what Psalm 111:2 says. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Think about that. This book right here is a record of all that God has done to create the world in the past. It gives us a record of all his dealings with man, and it tells us where he's taking things in the future, and it's pretty awesome. God has done some crazy good things, right? And as we read the scriptures, we learn about this God and what he has done. And the more you know about God and what he has done, the more of a delight he and his works become to us. So we got to get in them. You know, I can remember when God's Word began to come alive for me. I mean, I grew up, I became a Christian as a kid. I read God's Word from time to time, received my first Bible that was mine when I was 8 years old from my pastor at the time, and I enjoyed hearing the Word of God preached, but I really didn't read it devotionally, other than occasionally, until I was in college, and it became to come alive to me as I was part of my Christian ministry there. And I used to sit in the U library and find a little desk and read Scripture, and then I would journal some thoughts and pray over that Scripture, and I began to get excited to delight in what God had said and what he was doing. I mean, sometimes I just wanted to yell it out like, hey guys, have you read this? Like, this is amazing. God did some amazing things. I mean, he created this world that I love, the one that I moved to Utah to enjoy. He made it. He saved the Israelites through the Red Sea. He helped Gideon defeat great armies. He gave barren women children. Right? This is our God. It's amazing. And I began to get excited about what God said and did as I got in his Word. And then shortly after college, this is almost embarrassing, but I really didn't read anything until I graduated college. I read through the Bible for the first time in my life, all the way through, every page, every word, right? And it changed my life. I mean, I could just tell you, like, if you've never read through the Bible and you're a Christian, read it. It will change your life. Just simply. You know, it's amazing how many people we get that come to this church. In fact, we just had a new crop of them that came and said, you know what? God's been working my life. So I picked up a Bible and I started reading it and I think I've become a Christian. It's amazing what God does through his Word if we will delight in it and get in it. And there's lots of ways to do that. Now, here's the toughest way. You can start on page one. And you can try to plow right through all the way to the end. If you've never done that before, then I can guarantee Your tombstone lies near the end of Leviticus and the beginning of Numbers. You're not going to make it. Okay? So if you are new to the Bible, you're a new believer, then start reading with the book of John, one of the Gospels. And then go back and read the rest, the other three Gospels, and then read the rest of the New Testament, and then dive into the most wonderful part of the Bible, which is the Old Testament. Praise God. I love the Old Testament. It says so much about who God is. But I encourage you to find a Bible reading plan. Like, read it chronologically. If you didn't know, it's not all in order. And it really helps to begin to learn what it's doing in order. Right? Read it chronologically. Read it systematically. Read a plan that can help you get through in a year where you read some of the Old Testament and some of the New Testament and some of the Psalms and Proverbs that help you keep hope alive as you go through. And take it everywhere you go with you. Like, I take mine camping. One of the greatest things is sit in my tent and read the Bible in the morning because I got no other distractions, right? I take it with me skiing, backcountry skiing. Sometimes I'll sit there as I'm transitioning, like, take a moment and pray and read the Word and think about that. I take it on the plane. I know, I'm the weird guy, right? People think you're weird if you're even reading on a plane now. Like, I crack open a book and I don't have anything on my screen. They're like, what's wrong with that guy? I don't trust him, right? It gets even weirder if you crack open your Bible. I got 3 hours. I'm going to spend it with God, right? Read it wherever you go. And you might say, well, I don't like reading. I know some of those out there. Well, our God wrote a book. I don't know what to tell you, right? Like, and it's been a bestseller. You ought to read it. You got to read to get to know Him. And another way to do it is, if reading is really offensive to you or you don't know how even, there's some of that, right? Like, find a way to listen to God's Word. There's so many apps out there that can help you listen to God's Word. And I'll tell you this, it's an amazing thing what you pick up when you're listening to God's Word. You pick up things you won't see when you're reading. In fact, I'd advocate doing both. Because, you know, most of God's Word was written to be heard. In fact, people throughout the ages didn't have a Bible that they could turn to. They had to go to an assembly and hear it read to them. And what a blessing that we get to live in a time where God's Word is everywhere. I have more Bibles on my shelf than I know what to do with. I'm giving them away all the time. It's on our phones. It's on the internet. It's everywhere. Most people over time would have given all that they have to have a copy of God's Word. And it's right there at our fingertips. We have no excuse. In fact, in persecuted places, I always love these stories. I've heard stories about how they would get so excited to get a ripped out page of the Bible. One page. I'm always like, what if you got that crazy passage in Leviticus, right? Like, come on, God. Like, couldn't we have got like 1 John ripped out for us? But they rejoiced over that one page that they delighted in God's Word because it spoke to them and they got to know God through it. So let's be people that read our Bible. Another way we can delight in God's Word is to meditate on it. You know, Psalm 1:2, it said it. It said, the blessed man, he meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. This is saying the blessed man thinks about what God has said all day long. Not just part of the day, not just for his devotion, all day. This is beyond just reading it. It pushes us to think about what it says as we meditate on God's Word. You know, when you're reading, a good way to do this is just mark in your Bible. Like, if you look at mine, I've just written through the whole thing. God's not offended. You can write in your Bible, okay? I'm just going to free you up on that. But as you go through, mark the verses that God's speaking to you through, right? And then take one of those verses and pause on it and mull it over. Write it down. Read it throughout the day. Let God speak to you over days about that verse. It's amazing what God will do as we begin to meditate on a verse of Scripture. I mean, treat it like a fine gem, and every day you just turn it a little bit and look at a different facet. Just that verse, right? Meditate on it. You know, a verse arrested me the other day. I shared it with the staff. I was studying 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says this, But thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Whoa. Right? Like, I got to pause and think about that verse. And I began over the last couple days and weeks, and I just been meditating on this verse. What does it mean that we are led in triumphal procession in Christ? Right? Think about that. You know, there's lots of different thoughts on this verse, but one is in Rome, like when they would defeat people, they would line up all the slaves and they would parade them through the streets and show all the victories of war to everybody. And so some have said we are like the slaves of Christ. He has won a victory. He has purchased us. We are His slaves being paraded. And some people think we've been defeated because we are His slaves. But the other side of that verse is saying, but we've actually won, right? We are actually in the victory parade, even if the world does not think so. And so really the thing is saying to us, this verse is saying to us, even when we look like we are losing, in Christ we are winning and have won. And we win every day, right? What a great verse. I'm going to keep meditating on it. We do that as we read it throughout the day, thinking about it, writing it out, discussing it with other people. You know, some people I know take one book a month or even for a whole year and they'll just read that every day, right? As a way to meditate on it. God will show you amazing things in His Word as you delight in it, as you meditate on it. One of the greatest things I've ever done in my life was give myself to the study of this book, right? I mean, I spent 10 years in school studying this book. Right? It's amazing. Seminary was a delight for me because it began to unlock the riches of who God is and what He has said in this book. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Okay, a third way we can delight in the Word of God is this. Memorize it. Okay? Psalm 119, 11, 16, listen to what it says. I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. How many of you memorized verses as a kid, maybe growing up? A few. My first one, what was it? John 3:16, right? Come on. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. That was the first verse that I memorized as a kid, and it's been with me my entire life. And that's a really good verse to have with you your whole life, right? Pushes you towards eternal life. When Amy and I first got married, we were talking about this in Young Marrieds a bit, we used to work at Scripture together, and when one day we said, okay, we're going to go deeper with Jesus, so let's memorize a verse together. And we memorized Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Anybody know that one? Okay. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. What a great verse, right? You were saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, and God has good things for you when you follow Jesus, so step into them. Great verse. Memorize that on a road trip somewhere between Tennessee and Alabama, and it has stuck with me ever since, right? And I memorize Psalms like that. You know, one of my favorite Psalms that I memorize, at least the first couple of verses, Psalms 24, 2 through 4. And basically, I'll go on prayer walks sometimes during the day when I'm working on my sermon and praying for the church. And I always look up at Mount Olympus and I summarize Psalm 24, 2 through 4. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Only those with clean hands and a pure heart. Right? Reminds me of God's holiness as I pray and my need for Him to do a work in me. And so we can memorize verses that we need that prompt us to follow God. We can memorize verses that help us in times of struggle, and I know you guys have done some of those. We can memorize promises that we need to remind ourselves of, like God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I want to stand on that promise every day, right? God is with me. Memorize verses that I need to pray with, like Matthew 6:13. Lord's Prayer, great verses to memorize, but one thing I pray out of that every day, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Right? Pray God's Scripture back to Him, but you got to have it memorized. We've memorized chapters together as the staff that lead and guide us in our character. And you could do the work of memorizing with note cards, sticky notes, writing it out, reading it over and over again. You can use an app to help you. Whatever it takes, we want to be people that get our heart and mind, get God's word in it as we delight in it. And as we memorize it, we delight in it. Fourth way we could delight in God's word is this, is to live it out. Okay? Psalm 34:8 says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." In other words, I want to take what I'm reading and learning from God's word and try it out in my life. Right? How's this going to work out? What the psalmist is saying, as you put on what God has said, you try it out to see if it's true, to see if it's really good. And what we find is, as we try out God's word, it proves true and it lights up our hearts. It's true, it works, and it's a blessing. He's saying, try it out, taste and see, it's good, just like that steak. It's faith building to know God's word, to try it out, and to see it work out. Right? Like if I taste and see that it's good, then guess what I want to do again? Do it again, right? Like, I want to live more in God's word. In fact, Psalm 40 verse 8 says, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." You know, my favorite ways to begin living out God's word is through praying it. And I'd encourage you to do this as a way to delight in God's word. After I've read God's word and I've marked in my Bible, I go back through and I pray all those verses that God was speaking to me through. Now, he speaks through all of them. And what's funny is I have some passages where I started marking and then you mark the other ones and suddenly the whole thing's marked, right? Like, this is how God works. But go back through and begin praying those things, asking God to make those things true in your life. This is the start of how we put it on and live it out. And so this morning, I want to challenge you to get in God's word, right? If you aren't reading it yet, set aside some time this week, right? Get in there. Let's start this week. Meditate on it. Let God speak to you through his word. He will through his spirit. Memorize it. Love how God brings his word to my mind when I need it because I've had it in my heart. And then live it. Try it out and see if it's good. Psalm 1:3, that blessed man, we see a little promise here. Says, as you delight in the word and meditate on it, that you will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and your leaf will not wither, and in all you do, you will prosper. That's a promise I want to hang on to right there, right? God's saying, if you will get in his word, you will surround yourself, just marinate in it, God's going to do a work in you at the right time. You're going to bear fruit. And you're going to prosper. And you're always going to be green on the inside of the Lord. And you're going to prosper in everything you do. In fact, let's talk secondly here about delighting in the effects of the word in our life. So what the word produces in us. Let me just read you Psalm 19:7-11. It's a meditation on God's word. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward." In other words, here's what the psalmist is saying. Are you feeling depressed and dead on the inside? God's word makes you alive. Need some direction, not sure what steps to take? Here's the effect of God's word. Gives us wisdom. Shows us where to go. Not feeling real happy today? God's word causes us to rejoice, it says. It enlightens us. It teaches us about the saving gospel of Christ. Causes us to fear the Lord in healthy ways that motivate us to walk in his ways. It proves itself to be true. It shows itself to be more valuable and sweeter than anything else. There's that delight language again, sensual language. more valuable than gold. And gold is real expensive right now if you hadn't checked. More sweet than honey. It warns us of sin and leads us to eternal life. You know, personally, I love how God's word has guided me throughout my life, right? I mean, it's shown me the sin of my heart. It's shown me the forgiveness of a loving Savior. It's shown me wise ways to live that I've tried out and they've borne out. They're good. It's shown me God's mission that I want to be a part of. Like, if I did not have God's word as the anchor of my life, man, I'd be adrift. I'd be trying all sorts of things. You may be here this morning, right? And that's your life. You're like, I'm not anchored to anything. God's saying, look, my word is sure. Come give it a shot and watch the effect it will have on your life, right? It's a sure anchor. And maybe you even know what that's like. Maybe you're in a season of looking for God and you're looking for his direction. God says, get in his word. I'll show you. In fact, even it's funny, I've been wrestling with, again, we mentioned this last week about, you know, what's next for our church? Let's be praying about this. What church plant do we have next? And we've thought about maybe even like a Sunday night service over downtown. And I've been a little bit, I mean, I'm Pastor Jared. I'm a little worried about having church on like a Sunday night. And then I read our passage last week about Paul and the people getting together on a Sunday night. And I go, well, maybe Jared needs to change his opinion a bit, right? Thanks, God. That's good direction. So we'll keep thinking and praying about that. Psalm 119:24, it says this, your testimonies are my delight and they are my counselors. Wow, that's a lot of counselors, right? A lot of wise counsel in there. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. If you're in need of direction this morning, God's word says he can lead you and guide you if you'll step into it, right? Get in his word, delight in it, and see how it has an effect on your life and that it doesn't prove true and good. And as Christians, again, we are to be people that are led by God's word. As we find out that it's true and it leads us in the right ways, you will find great delight in God and his word, who has spoken to us in his word. And when we find delight, you know what our heart does? We want more of it. When you have that good steak, what do you want? Another good steak. In fact, I'm like, when can I get less full again so I can have that steak again? Psalm 119:35 says, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. So we've looked at how we delight in God's word, and we've looked at kind of the effect it can have on our life as we delight in God's word. Let's look at a third, final thing here. And flip this from the first point. This is delighting in the Lord of the word, not the word of the Lord. Delighting in the Lord of the word. Psalm 119:2 says this, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Okay, I want you to put on your thinking cap for a second, your Old Testament hat. It's kind of old and dirty. We're going to talk about this a second. Hebrew poetry here is built on this idea of parallelism. So it takes two ideas and it sets them beside each other. Okay, and that's what it's doing here. In the first line it says, statement A, blessed is the man who lives out God's word. And then statement B, who seeks him with his whole heart. And those two phrases brought together, two different ideas, are meant to create something new in our minds. What's it saying to us? Here's the C statement. It's saying this, when you seek to live out God's word, it's the pathway to knowing God himself. That's what it's telling us. Delighting in God's word is ultimately meant to be the pathway to delighting in God himself. Listen, we don't read our Bibles just to know the story. That's what unbelieving academics do. We read to know the God of the story. I think this is where many of us go wrong in our Bible reading. We make it a chore, like, I just need to get through X amount of material because I know it's good for me and I should do this. And people tell me it's something I should do. That's not the right motivation. Or we just want to know all the material, what's in there. Or we want to make it a self-help book. I just need to find what will help me get through today and that's it. Or we make it a weapon. Well, this is what the Bible says. But our Bible reading as Christians, delighting in the word of the Lord, is meant for us to get to know the God who wrote it and delight in him. This is what it's all about. Like, we begin to read our Bibles to delight in God himself, and when you do that, you won't be able to get enough of it. When you start seeing God in there and get to know him, man, it's a good thing. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that this book was breathed out by God, that by his Spirit this thing was made. These are his words to us. And I pray when we read the Bible, I pray when I read the Bible, I would hear his voice coming to me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He illuminates it, lets us hear God through his own words. In fact, I always pray, Lord, let me hear your voice speak to me as I delight, as I do the work of delighting in your word. I want to delight in you. Now, here's the cool thing about the Bible. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says this. Long ago and at many times and in many ways, this isn't Star Wars, though it surely sounds like it. So long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. This is a cool thing. Luke 24, as we said last week, Jesus begins to show his disciples how all the things God has said here are all about him. In fact, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, how we can be forgiven in Christ and come into relationship with him, be adopted into God's family, how God is saving us, not just because we are in danger of hell because we'd rebelled against him, but because he wants to invite us into a relationship through Christ forever to enjoy him. And as we delight in God's word, we delight in what God has done for us in Christ. And we delight in that message. We delight in knowing Jesus. In fact, John 1:1, John says, Jesus is the Word of God. In other words, what he's saying is, Jesus is the most perfect expression of everything that God is and everything God wants to do and how God loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. And when we read God's Word to know the Word, to know the Lord of the Word, it's this Jesus that we get to know and delight in. Psalm 119, 77 says this, let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. In other words, God, let me see the glories of what you've done in Christ. Pour out the riches of the gospel on me. Save my soul as I delight in your word. And to know and delight in God's word is to know and delight in Jesus. And if you haven't begun a relationship with him, I would again encourage you, as we do every week, start one, right? Say, Lord, I want to follow you. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. Come and be Lord of my life, Jesus. I want to walk with you now and forever, and I want to enjoy you forever. Benji, you can come on up. So again, let's summarize here. God saved you in Christ so that you could enjoy him forever, okay? This is meant to be a really good, enjoyable, pleasurable relationship that we have for God for all eternity. In fact, Psalm 16:11 talks about it this way, Lord, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's delighting in God right there. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We want to learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, and the starting point for doing this is his word. It records all that God has done for us and will do for us in the person of Christ. It leads us, it guides us, it challenges us, it comforts us, it encourages us, but overall it helps us to begin a relationship with the person of Christ who will never leave us or forsake us. And so I challenge you this morning to find time and space to delight in God's word this week, because it will change your life. It will change your life. As we come to an end this morning, I want us to stand together, and we're going to do a little responsive reading today. So I have Psalm 19. We're going to read this together. And there are parts for me and parts for you. So the parts that say pastor, that's for me. And the parts for church, those are for you. And so we're going to read through Psalm 19 as we respond to the Lord this morning. And then I'll pray and we're going to enter into a time here of communion. So I'm going to read the pastor part. You belt out the church part. Here we go. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The precepts of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. Let's say this together. So then, let us commit ourselves to commune with God in His Word, and in doing so, so may we delight in the Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the goodness of your Word. We thank you that you spoke to us, and it's been recorded for us. God, teach us to delight in you as we delight in your word. God, we don't want to just read it. We want to know you. And so, Father, would you meet us this week as we spend time in your word? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.